Welcome to the Live Your Life podcast, episode number 30. My guest today is Jennifer Adams, and Jennifer Adams is an associate marriage and family therapist in California, and I found her through her Instagram page. So what we talk about in this episode was Jennifer had done quite a bit of modeling in her past, and she created this page, and she wanted to use it to bring the world of fashion and beauty and combine it with the important conversations of mental health and the authentic struggle that a lot of people have. And what she recognized was when she started using this platform to talk about these things, as she says, it took off. She got quite a few followers. People really loved reading and learning about these difficult truths that she was talking about. So don't forget to rate and review this episode, and please subscribe and stay tuned for a great conversation. Everything expressed in the Live Your Life podcast is either my opinion or the opinion of my guest, and this is not a replacement for healthcare services. If you find yourself in need of therapy or other healthcare services, please seek out resources for that. I'm Jasmine Savari, and welcome to the Live Your Life podcast. As a coach with a master's degree in psychology, I know that so many of us are missing the authentic experience of truly living our lives. I want to inspire you with conversations that expand your consciousness and empower you to create the best life possible. Let's start living now, because now is all we have. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the Live Your Life podcast.
Hi, Jasmine. How are you today?
I am good. I'm so glad to have you here. And I think we originally connected on Instagram. I can't remember how, but I love your page and your profile. So I was like, I need to have her.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell people who you are and what you do?
Mm-hmm. And we did actually connect on Instagram. I think we found each other through like women supporting other women.
I love Instagram. I'm sorry. I make so many friends through Instagram. So if anybody ever feels like they don't want to, it is such an amazing resource. I love it so much.
Yeah, I love Instagram. I feel like it's such a good platform for people just meeting so many different other people from, you know, all around the world. I have some people that follow me from Pakistan, and I'm like, how did you find my little old profile? Like, what?
That's
and
awesome.
It's such a blessing, because you just get to know so many amazing people. So yeah, I can go into who I am. So hello, everyone. My name is Jennifer Adams. First and foremost, I am an associate marriage and family therapist. I specialize in trauma healing. And what that means for me specifically is I walk my clients through not only mentally getting through their traumatic experiences, but also physically and spiritually, if that is a component. I also run my own marketing agency at J. Adams Marketing. You can follow me on Instagram if you're on there. And I also created a brand several years ago called Runway Red LA, where I bring mental health into the fashion and beauty realm. And we'll go more in detail about like how that all started after.
Awesome. So let's just dive in. So how did it all start? How did you come to be where you are now?
Well, it's kind of funny because I was raised in the age of AOL dial-up. So if anyone listening remembers how annoying that was, it was just so funny. It sounds like aliens are talking back and forth to you. And of course, you always had to yell at mom and dad to get off the phone. That's the kind of age that I grew up in. So I was just always drawn to the internet when it first came around for connecting with others and being able to, like, you know, play games, innocent things. Well, years and years later, when I was in college, I got my associates in mass communications, and I was really loving journalism. I grew up just loving reading and writing, always, still to this day, I'm a big book nerd. And I just love writing different things. And so in high school, did a bunch of newspaper work, did interviews and profiles on people, and I just really loved that. The more I got into college, I ended up pretty much being told by the teachers, hey, you might want to choose another profession. You're already really skilled at journalism. You could tie this into so many different things, but you might want to think outside the box. And at that point, I was like, I'm not going to go get an education if I can't challenge myself and be able to kind of grow as a person. So fast forward a couple years later, I ended up switching to psychology after taking a psychology class. And I fell in love with the world of psychology, which I know a lot of people are like, why do people do what they do? I feel like everybody, there's so many self-help books out there and psychology books out there. You don't need to be a therapist in order to get into that, right? And when Instagram came around, I really just kind of used it to stay in contact with family and friends at first. And I would sit there and just, you know, it was kind of like Facebook at the time. You would just comment, you would like each other's photos. I just kind of use that as putting pictures and putting products that I like on there. I'm someone that has very sensitive skin due to my eczema. So I would just post like random pictures of like makeup I was buying or clothes I was buying that felt really nice next to the skin. And if you have sensitive skin like I do, you know what that means when you have, you know, clothing that just really suits any irritation you have. It's just a blessing. So when I moved to California, I started hearing this word influencer. And I was like, isn't that kind of modeling with a product? Like, don't you just call it like modeling? And everybody was like, no, we call it an influencer. You influence people to buy things and that kind of thing. And I'm like, well, I want to not be like that. I would rather build some kind of community. I started following other influencers that had created their own like community of people, whether it's about birth or whether it's about having kids or just different things. Fashion people that I would look up to, they would just be posting about wearing these beautiful things that they're wearing. And then there was also some of my friends that I had met in LA at different PR events. They started posting things from like fellow designers. And then when I would click it, I'd be like, oh, wow, these dresses are really affordable. And they don't have, you know, a lot of following. But the more and more I got into the mental health, I realized that, yes, I'm a therapist that loves, you know, makeup and clothes that are classy yet sexy. But I thought, okay, there's a lot of people on Instagram who love this stuff, but also struggle with mental health. And I said, well, why can't I bring both worlds and collide them and use them? So I started by trial. I posted a few posts, sometimes about grief and loss, sometimes about anxiety or depression or trauma. And I would just, you know, instead of it just being a pretty picture of me in a dress or something, I wanted it to mean more. I didn't want it to just be all about me. So I started posting these pictures. And then in the captions, I would leave helpful tips on how to manage anxiety during the holidays or how to have a difficult conversation with a family member and set healthy boundaries. And it was crazy because the original post that I posted where it was just like products and, you know, nothing, they would get, you know, some loves and some likes. But then when I started posting posts that were actually genuine and meaningful and giving back, that is where I saw things take off. So that was just incredible to watch.
It's so cool as you're talking about this. I'm just thinking about how much people, I mean, we're all bombarded with pictures of like beautiful people and told whatever the advertising wants us to be told about these things. And so here you are kind of matching those, like presenting this beautiful image, but then also talking about things that are super vulnerable and honest. And did you start sharing your own experiences or were you sharing it more as like, as a therapist, kind of giving advice and helping?
I was just sharing in the beginning from my own standpoint, because when I started it, I was in the beginning of grad school. So I hadn't, you know, become a therapist. I hadn't started giving therapy to clients or anything. We were just reading textbooks. And so at that time, I just shared personal experiences. I just shared that, you know, yes, I have anxiety and depression, but you can get help in so many different ways. And I wanted to open up people's eyes to that. I wanted to share, honestly, just kind of nerding out on everything I was learning. I wanted it to be accessible to other people because not everybody, I understand, especially as a white Irish Caucasian, not everyone has the privilege of going to school. Not everyone has the privilege of going to therapy or group therapy or anything. And so I really just wanted to be of help. And I started just sharing my own experiences. I also would talk about my journey with eczema and how I've tried probably every label you can think of at Target and Walgreens. And that, oh, I started realizing the more and more I ate healthier and the less stress I had and the more mindfulness I did. And I watched out for processed foods or tried, you know, more natural skincare and makeup, that my flare-ups would go down. And so because I was being vulnerable in a sense, but not like too vulnerable, it ended up working out. And that's how I've been able to connect with a lot of my beautiful followers, because they'll see pretty pictures, but then when they actually like read the caption or they see me being like a dork on my stories, they relate to that. They're like, oh my God, you're wearing like a Sailor Moon sweater. And I'm like, yeah, isn't it the best? Which Sailor Moon do you like? You know, like, which Scout do you like? And so we would have like genuine connections. And more than anything, even as higher and higher brands reached out and that kind of thing, I always wanted to remain humble and remember that not everybody has the luxury you get. And I want to turn this into kind of like more of an empowering community where we support each other. And it's not just about me and the free things I'm getting, you know, so.
Yeah, which I would imagine is a bonus. And I think all of us, we do our things because we get something from it, right? And those good feelings are something that we get, but we also have to make a living and support ourselves. So I don't think yes. There's any shame in getting the good things that you're getting, because it sounds like back when you were in college, like it sounds to me like your teachers were pretty supportive, saying like, maybe you should think outside the box. And like, this is outside the box for sure, I would say.
Yeah, I think they just saw, you know, sometimes it takes a person to have another person see from the outside, right? Because we're our own toughest critics. And so we think, or maybe it's the religious or cultural upbringing, sometimes we can just have this vision of what we're supposed to do and supposed to be like. And, you know, with the journalism background, they were always encouraging. In the therapy background, of course, they were like, be careful what you're sharing. Because keep in mind that your clients can look up any of these things. You know, they can find you, you know. So I know that like clients could find my Instagram, clients could find my marketing page, clients could find my LinkedIn page. And so I've been very careful to make sure. In the beginning, I was just kind of posting everything, but I was never inappropriate. But then as of recently, actually, just because, you know, I'm about to almost get licensed and all these other things, I just kind of went through my account and I combed through it even more. And I took, I archived, which basically means in Instagram, you don't delete it, but you kind of like move it so that no one sees it. And I just said, you know, if they find my page, okay, I don't want to shut it down. I think the community that I'm building is very beautiful and safe. But I've taken things down like a wine post or, you know, a revealing swimsuit photo of me, even though you can't see anything. I did share a lot about my personal struggle with when I had taken antidepressants at one point. I gained weight. I don't mind talking about that now, but I decided to take the picture down because that is kind of personal. And I can see how, like, if a male client found it, you know, they might take it a different way. So I started just kind of fine tuning and fine combing everything and saying, okay, you know what? I don't have to stop this, but I do have to be careful with what I share and being okay with, okay, what you share can come back and bite you if you're not careful as a therapist. So I definitely had to kind of take a break, pause, you know, kind of reflect and then, you know, continue hitting the ground running.
I think anytime you put yourself out there in like a vulnerable way or what you perceive as a vulnerable way, like there's always going to be people who could judge you or criticize you or have their own opinions about what you're doing. And I just hope that with what you're saying, and I know I'm the same way on my social media, I'm really careful about what I say, but it's like you're landing with people who really appreciate your message. So what would you say about that balance of being super open, but also knowing that the more honest you are, the more of an impact you're going to make with your followers?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the most beautiful things that I've learned whether it's a journalism major, and then now using both my journalism and my psychology background, people love vulnerability. I mean, if we look at like how TikTok took off, you know, yes, there are big names that were behind it and celebrities jumped on it and whatever. But honestly, if you look at like why people are spending hours and hours on that app is because the genuineness, you know, the genuineness, the funny things that we can relate to, all of that. And so when it comes to my vulnerability, you know, I think if I am looking at it in the context of this could help someone, then I would share it. So for instance, I'm not afraid to talk about how I have anxiety and I have depression and that I have had, you know, suicidal thoughts and attempts before, because I have had those conversations with clients before where they get scared to talk about those things like suicidal thoughts and past attempts, because there is still a stigma that, oh, if I talk about them, that if I say, oh, I'm having suicidal thoughts, then I might get committed. I've had clients terrified of sharing that with me because they thought I would commit them. And I would be very honest and I would say, listen, I know what it feels like to be in that position. I wouldn't, you know, divulge anything like specific details because the therapy is about them. But I would sit there and I would say, you know, when it comes to being vulnerable, hey, like, I know what that's like. I know depression can definitely feel like a black cloud. Is that what it feels like for you? Does it feel like a cloud? Does it feel like a weight on you? When I would talk to them about suicidal thoughts or attempts, I'd say, you know, life is hard. And I get that. A lot of us, you'd be surprised, have been there. And if you share with me that you've had suicidal thoughts, it's okay. Know that I'm going to want to understand where you're coming from in the experience. Is it that you want to die, or you're wanting the pain of the situation or whatever happened to go away? There's a difference. And a client did ask me once, how do you know that? Like, the way you talk about suicide or suicide attempts or thoughts, you don't scare from it. And I said, I don't scare from it because I've been there, you know, and we need to talk about it and know that, like, you're not the only one that goes through these things. We all go through these things, a different lifespan journey. So that to me has just kind of kept me being vulnerable, because it helps. It helps people not feel alone.
Yeah. And from a marketing perspective too, like, people want somebody who's going to understand them, like, understand mm-hmm. their story. And if they see that in you, not that clients are finding you on social media necessarily, but people relate to you if they feel like you would understand them. And that's really powerful.
Definitely. I feel like everybody just has a story to share, you know, whether it's the entrepreneur that came from nothing and launched a, you know, six-figure business, or, you know, the mom and dad that started, you know, a shop in the area, and they've been successful because of the community that they built. I don't know. I guess that's the journalism major in me. I just love storytelling. And so that's where I think kind of the two worlds collide for me and I nerd out on, because whether it's marketing, journalism, or therapy, there's that story component. And if you can turn that into like a visual through social media, run it, like, run through it and do it. If you're going to help people, go for it. And I have just been very thankful that I've been able to create the community that I have, and then have the organizations that I always wanted to collaborate with find me before I even had the chance to reach out to them, is just like, whoa. So the power of impact is insane.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. So I know we talked about it in the beginning. You were sharing some of the clothes that you were wearing and some of the products that you were using. So how do you kind of bridge this? The Instagram page that I connected with you on was the Runway Red LA. So runway, fashion is in the title. So how do you think about this connection between the mental health and fashion? Like, how does that play out in your messaging?
Mm-hmm. It's funny because I do want to share like how I came up with the Runway Red LA. I didn't want to just use my name, because my name is just very common. You type in Jennifer Adams, there's like 17,000 whatever Jennifer Adams. So my name is very common, and I wanted something that was catchy, but then people could remember it. So I put the word runway due to the fact that I'm tall. I'm 5'10". And people would always ask me if I either played basketball or I did modeling. I did both. But I did runway work a lot more, just like local charity events in Florida, and nothing too crazy. Some fashion weeks, but nothing crazy like New York Fashion Week or Miami. And I wanted to put red because people know me for the red hair, LA for the location. So that's how that came about. But when it came to like combining the fashion and the mental health aspect, I just kind of wanted to speak to things that like my girlfriends were saying or friends were saying. So for instance, as a woman, if we have a comfortable dress on, or, you know, we're really comfortable in like jeans and a t-shirt, you just kind of feel good to take on the day, right? Well, that plays into your mental health, because if you're wearing something that you feel makes you confident, then go for it, right? Like, let's incorporate that. For instance, I've talked about the power of red lipstick. For some reason, when you put on red lipstick, it just makes you feel like, you know, just a boss, and that you can just take on any struggle that faces you. I also related the mental health aspect to skincare. So for instance, I would bring up the fact that I would get sensitive about my skin because, you know, I've had it since I was a child. So mine's genetic. It's not something that just went away. And so I would relate it to skincare in the sense of like, I've tried every label in Target and nothing is helping with this redness. And it's embarrassing. And it makes me feel depressed, because if I'm going out into the world and I have red splotches on my face, I've had incidences where people have asked me to my face. When I worked in a special needs school, this happened a lot, and you can't blame them. They don't know. But people would ask me, what's wrong with you? You look sick. Like, are you okay? And it would really hurt me, because people wouldn't know that I've been struggling with eczema my entire life, you know, being bullied before, constant bullying, constant making fun of as a child. That's not fun. So I would relate it to things that people go through now, you know, and talking about natural skincare, and that I started switching to more natural skincare. And then I also started looking more into clean beauty products. And I would just kind of hop on stories, or I would, you know, post about how, oh my gosh, look at this before and after. You know, I have red spots, and now I'm putting this like foundation on that's clean beauty, and I feel confident, like I feel good. And so I just kind of related that to my audience. My audience is mainly made up of females, but there's some males that follow as well. So I keep that in mind when creating content.
So who is your audience? Like, when you started talking about this, what you said you wanted to build community. So what kind of people are coming to you?
On both of my platforms, a lot of the people are either my age, a little bit older, or a little bit younger. And most of it is predominantly females. And a lot of them, when I first started it, I kind of just was doing my own thing. But then as I kind of grew into the mental health aspect, I wanted to build a community where we're empowering each other. You know, this is not just who looks hottest in the photo or any of that thing. It's more like, let's hype each other up. Like, whether it's an organization, whether it's, you know, a woman who had like dyed her hair, or she went through an unfortunate circumstance, let's support each other.
Yeah. And I'm still curious about, so this idea of like fashion. So I think as women, females, little girls, mm-hmm. we are given so many mixed messages, and there's been like a thing going around that's like, look pretty, don't look too pretty. Like, you're overweight, don't be, you know, like, you're too skinny.
Yes, whatever. I've seen that video.
Yeah,
that
it's video, like, no matter yeah. what, we can't do it right, you know? So it's like, mm-hmm. okay, so do we put energy into how we look, or do we not put energy into how we look? And I think what you said about like how you feel. So I do videos on my social media pretty much every morning. I like literally roll out of bed and drink my coffee and do a story. And so I'm like, no makeup, like in my bathrobe on my balcony. That's how I roll. And I don't care. Like, I don't care that I don't look totally put together. But there's also something to be said about like, I feel really good when I do put myself together, but it's not a measure for me. It's not a measure of my self-worth, but it really is like a decision, and it's like impacts the way that I feel. I don't feel like I need to do it, like I'm less than if I don't do it. But there's also a part where I think, at least for me, sometimes I'm resistant to using the way that I look or fashion to feel empowered. And I think your message is really important because it can feel really good in a really healthy way.
Definitely. I mean, I think what's kind of one of the things that's fun about being a woman is that you can express yourself in so many different ways. Obviously, so can men and people of the LGBTQ community. I think there's just been so many more doors opened for genuineness and tapping into what makes you happy. You know, if you feel your best in a oversized hoodie and basketball shorts, go for it. If you feel, you know, awesome with colorful, some of my friends do the most colorful, beautiful makeup. And I'm like, I could not copy you to save my life. But they do it, they've even told me that they do it because it's a sense of therapy for them, you know, like applying the makeup or putting on, you know, the clothes or coming up with concepts to do during Christmas or Halloween looks or that kind of thing. I think what's so beautiful of the community that's on Instagram or other platforms is that fashion can be what you make it. It can just be so much fun to kind of explore, like, what personality do you want to be today? You know, and not in a sense of a multiple personality thing, not any of that some people unfortunately make fun of on social media, but more of the sense of like, who do you want to be today? What's going to make you feel you? What's going to make you feel connected? And I think even when I've come on social media and not worn any makeup and, you know, because I didn't want people to keep seeing like pretty pictures of me and thinking that's always like I always look gorgeous. You know, I've even commented under my photos and said, nah, I look like this maybe one day out of the week. I do not look like this all the time. And I think, you know, also jumping on the stories and being that genuine person to be like, look, this is me with like no makeup. Look, this is me without like, you know, after a workout where I'm sweating. You know, how are you guys doing today? Just that realness, I think, is beautiful. I think the only time where I've had to, you know, kind of doll myself up is when I've had to take pictures for, you know, brand collaborations. That's the only time I feel a little bit pressured. But if it's like skincare or certain kind of makeup, it's like they don't, if you create a beautiful imagery, it doesn't have to be super caked on. You know, you can have like no makeup on and do a skincare shot where you're applying it to your face. Mm-hmm. So I think that more and more people want that genuineness. And I think that's what's so beautiful about like the fashion and the beauty realm. You can just have so much fun. And with fashion, there's just so many options and you can support local businesses. Like I've been able to connect with some local businesses in California and, you know, we trade clothes, but then I promote that they're like a mom and pop shop, or I promote that they're a Black female owned, you know, business. And so I think that that's what's important about like my journalism background is I can bring it into the fashion and into the marketing and being like, how would we want to tell a story with this product or this shirt I'm wearing? For instance, I'll tell you a funny one. I have two shirts that I got from a company. Sorry, actually, one's a shirt, one's a sweater. And one of the shirts says, go away Monday. And I love that shirt. I was gifted that shirt. And it was so funny because I was like, how am I going to take this photo? I can't just be like smiling. That's kind of weird. So I actually took a photo of me. Like I didn't scream out loud because I didn't want to like scare my neighbors. But I basically took a picture outside saying go away Monday with like this screaming face of being like, ah.
That's funny.
And then I just related to the Monday blues and people loved that. Yes, the shirt sold, but more than anything, I wanted to have fun with it. And so I did that with that one. And then the other thing was a sweater that says, in memory of when I slept in. And so anytime I wear that, whether it's, you know, just out in public or if I wear it on Instagram, people are like, oh my God, that's so funny. And then, you know, then I let them know of the brand, but I don't always get a commission So I let people know if they're like buying from me, like, hey, if this is percentage does go to me or if it doesn't. Most of the collaborations that I do, it's because I either like believe in their product most of the time, you know, like the clothing is comfortable. I've tried it, you know, I'm tall on top, you know, skinny on top and then curvy on the bottom. So like the material is really good or that kind of thing. So I'll speak to whatever I believe in the product. I don't say yes unless I know that I can believe in the product and, you know, essentially taking a picture and putting my name behind it.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm careful about that. You know, so right now it's a lot of essential oils and one company is sending me some apple cider vinegar juice and stuff like that. And so I'm talking a lot about how to take care of ourselves during this pandemic as an entrepreneur and as someone that does have a diagnosis.
So that's a really good segue. So I wanted to check in with you a little bit and hear some of your insights on how are you supporting people in what's happening right now? What are you encouraging your clients to do? What are you encouraging your friends to do?
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to that, I mean, I personally, when everything happened with COVID and in LA, everything started shutting down, you know, March of 2020, I can't believe we're in 2021 now. So for me personally, the center that I work at, we've been closed since March 17th, or no, sorry, March 20th, I think was the Friday where we were told, you know, hey, we have to start working from home that following Monday. And I know in the beginning, it was very hard. We were so used to being face-to-face contact with our clients. And if anyone has been to therapy, you know how important it is to kind of have that connection with somebody in person in a safe space. And not everyone has that at home. Not everyone has that in their family home or their own apartment, that kind of thing. So in the beginning, it was very, very, very difficult. You know, my clients experienced, as did the world, very heightened anxiety, a lot of depression, a lot of insomnia, that kind of thing. And in the beginning, the only thing we could do was just provide support. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I can't give you medicine, you know, for insomnia. I mean, if they're hooked up to a psychiatrist, that's one thing. But more than anything, I knew that when difficult times come, you have to just be there, you know, just call them up, just check in on them. And so I did that at first. And then thankfully, we started kind of getting groups up on Zoom. I work primarily with older adults, so not a lot of them have Zoom capabilities. So you would just call them. You would just call them more. Thankfully, all my clients I have a good rapport with. So even though we were calling from blocked numbers because we're using our personal cell phones, unless you know somebody's using Google Voice, they really enjoyed the fact that I kept calling them every week and kept calling them. Even if I like left a message, I kept calling them every week. And a lot of them did pick up because they are isolated in their apartments and some of them live in boarding cares and that kind of thing. And so in the beginning, it was very scary. It was kind of like I had to hold the safe space for everyone, which can be very hard when you're keeping your own, you know, mental health in check and you're trying to take care of your own health. You're worried about, I have family in Florida, so I was worried about my mom getting it. Or my dad, you know, and then of course I'm working on my PhD at the same time. So I was like, whew, this is a lot.
Yeah.
As the months went on, we just, were able to kind of adapt, I would say. And I think our clients were able to adapt as well. And reach out more if they needed help. Obviously with the election, no matter which side that they voted, there was a lot of symptoms and symptom management with that as well. And my job as a therapist is not to provide opinion or advice. It's more to empower my clients. Okay, you don't feel safe. How can we make you get you feeling safe in your apartment? You know, is it something like, do you need like a system of checking your doors at night or checking the stove? We need to do mindfulness techniques before you go to bed? Let's talk about that and teach that now, you know, while we have this session on the phone. So thankfully, though it was difficult, I just commend all of my clients and people around the world, really, because, I mean, we all have social media most of the time. And I just commend a lot of people, because what's been so impressive for me watching all of this is people are so resilient. And I think that is just beautiful to watch. You don't even know what you're made up of sometimes until you go through trials.
And what sort of self-care tips would you recommend to people?
More than anything, especially like me myself, I've been staying home, you know, since March. They've shut down, you know, outdoor dining and all that kind of stuff. And more than anything, and also taking into consideration a lot of what my clients are saying, what a lot of my friends are saying, some tips that I would definitely say is to continue to still move around your apartment, because with like depression and anxiety, sometimes we as people like have so much built in, you know, nerves that are happening and energy, right? So you have to get that energy out somehow. If you feel safe in your neighborhood, go take walks. You are allowed to take walks outside. If it makes you feel comfortable, I would wear a mask. Like when I go for a walk and it's in the daytime, I wear a mask, because while I'm not affected with COVID, I'm protecting other people. And so getting out in nature has been something that's really helped me. For instance, I've also taken drives in my car. So if the area is just too populated, you can still go and drive somewhere, park somewhere, and still see the sun, still see nature. Roll down your window if you can. I think that that's just so important to sometimes try to change up your environment. If you have to stay in your apartment building, maybe you live at a home, a nursing home or a boarding care or anything like that, I would take this time to do any kind of mindfulness thing. So that would be a lot of like deep breathing. You can also do this thing called, if you have like an anxiety attack coming on, people call it tapping. So if you Google the word YouTube, tapping, or look on YouTube, YouTube has a lot of videos of how you can self-soothe yourself. And tapping does a lot to calm down the nervous system. And when emotions are really high in the amygdala, you know, your prefrontal cortex is trying to calm you down, but your amygdala is so on fire with emotions and lit up like crazy that you sometimes can't do that. And I always like to tell people, like, hey, if you're getting like anxious being inside your home, do a little tapping. And what that means, and when I'm explaining on the phone, I'm like, take your hands, you know, obviously wash them before, but take your hands and like tap the part of like your forehead where like your temples are. And if you feel like it's helpful, say positive affirmations. So for instance, if you're having an anxiety attack, then you would do some tapping and you'd say, I am safe. I am safe. I am safe. You could also do kind of where you're hugging yourself. So you can kind of move your arms up and down and kind of hug yourself, say some positive affirmations, that kind of thing. Putting your feet kind of into the carpet where you're at and kind of moving back and forth. That's another grounding technique. A lot of mindfulness too is just really helpful, and it calms down. Even the deep breathing does calm down blood pressure. I also would say to clients, you know, there's a lot of free resources online. Some people on Instagram are doing free concerts. Some people are doing free talks. YouTube has a lot of beautiful at-home workouts. If you're wanting to work out from home, they have mindfulness. They have TED Talks on there, anything like that. And there's also certain libraries. If you try to Google the local libraries, they've made books online for free. So if you've been really wanting to read a book, now's your chance. and so that really helps.
All good tips. I think people are having a hard time, but we've been in this for so long now. It's crazy. It's almost been a year. So
I really can't believe it.
I can't either. I always encourage people to move too. That's like one of my number one. Although I will say to go outside if you can, because here's why I will say that the person above me walks back and forth like all day long, and it drives me a little crazy. So I would encourage people to go outside. They can.
Yeah. I mean, I know for my clients, like I did bring that up, and some of my clients, because they live in certain neighborhoods, they can't go outside. So I've had to tell them like, do other things. Like, so some of them turn to art, some of them turn to journaling, some of them put like, you can find these things on YouTube where it's like a scene of the underwater where you can like see fishes and it just keeps on replaying. So that's just another awesome thing because I understand people pacing. I actually saw some adorable older ladies walking around the apartment complex when COVID first hit with their mask on and they kept walking because they wanted to take care of their health. If you don't feel comfortable going outside, see if there's a garage, because if you're in gated parking, you can walk up and down the gated garage and still get some fresh air. So if people feel comfortable with that, I always say that that's really awesome. And more importantly, stay connected. You know, I know not everyone likes Zoom or groups or therapy over the phone. Totally get that. Totally respect that. But do yourself a favor and connect with someone, you know. Make sure you're at least talking with someone, at least one person each week, because it also keeps us stabilized that one day this will be over and that bond that you've created with that person will continue outside. You know, with anything we look at in history, and this is what I've also shared with my clients, when we've gone through adversities, we always come out on top. Is it hard? Is it difficult? Yes. Is there loss? Is there pain? Yes. But if you look at history, people are more resilient than they might know. And staying connected is just one way to kind of just empower yourself to accept that this is hard, but you're not the only one going through this. And churches have everything. Like, I mean, thankfully, we're in the era where we have a lot of access to the internet. But if you have access to the internet, use it. Use it to your advantage. Oh, and definitely limit your time on the news. If it is driving you crazy, limit it. Obviously, want you to stay informed, want you to stay, you know, proactive. But if you feel like you are getting anxious every morning and needing to check that news and check that thing, and then you feel physical responses to that of tightness in the chest or not being able to sleep at night because you need to wake up in the morning and like watch the news, you got to change something. You got to be kind to yourself during this time. So if you're going to watch the news, maybe do it 2 to 3 hours before bed, you know, and then once you watch the news, do something mindful or calming or kind of distracting, watch a funny movie or something before bed, because that's a lot of stress, you know, you're taking on.
So circling back, let's summarize a little bit. So before we started recording, I asked you, what is your primary message? And you said empowering people to break through stigmas. So with everything that we've talked about, which we've talked about a lot of really good stuff, how would you summarize what that means and the message that you want people to leave this podcast with?
I want people to know, it might sound corny, but you're not alone. I think the more I've been in the journalism and mental health field, the more I have seen people let their diagnosis, or say it's a chronic health condition, define their lives. And I have heard countless stories of people not letting that define them and how they've been able to achieve their version of success, not the society's version of success, their version of what success and happiness is. And I just want people to know that no matter what life gives you, even I've been in some of the darkest times in my life, and looking back and looking at how I'm here now, I want people to just be empowered to realize that your past trauma experiences do not define you. Your diagnosis does not define you. Your health condition does not define you. Is it something that can limit certain things? Yes. You know, I definitely want to be empathetic to that. But more than anything, you are capable of such powerful things. You have a story to tell. Tell your story. Empower others. Even if it's, you know, say you're kind of more of an introvert. Even if you just give somebody a compliment or you tell one of your friends, hey, I really appreciate how you've just been there for me recently. Stuff like that goes a long way. And so I just want people to know that you can break free from these things. You can break free from these limiting beliefs and these negative cognitive thoughts that you have. And so I just want people to just accept you know, that sometimes things are a reality, but you can change certain things, and to try your best, you know, to live the life that you want, you know, not what society tells you you need to have, you know, as far as a car and a house and family and kids. No, what is it that you want? What is your meaning? What is your purpose? Do you want to turn your pain into purpose? It's up to you. The possibilities are endless, whether you're 12 years old or whether you're 70, you still have a voice and you still have a way to be a beauty and a light to others. So I think that's kind of what I would want someone to know.
That's awesome. So where can people find you?
So people can find me mainly on Instagram. It's just an easier platform. On LinkedIn, if you have a LinkedIn and you want to connect, I'm under Jennifer Adams. I'm under an associate marriage and family therapist in Jay Adams Marketing. So you should see me kind of pop up. On Instagram, I have Runway Red LA. If you listen to this, send a DM to say hi. And then I also have my marketing pages where I kind of provide tips for entrepreneurs and just kind of like cute little quotes and just a positive vibe set for like entrepreneurs out there. That's on Instagram at Jay Adams, ADAMS. Marketing, so all together, .com.
Cool. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing your story. Super honest, and people love it. So I appreciate it. And thank you so much for joining the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been such an honor talking about these topics, because I feel like it's important, whether it's an entrepreneur listening to this, whether it's you know, just somebody struggling with mental health, or wanting to break into the fashion and beauty realm. I think there are just so many levels to what we shared. And so I just hope people come away with good little tips and nuggets that they can take and run with it.
I hope so too. Okay, thanks. Hey guys, it's Jasmine. Thanks so much for listening to the Live Your Life podcast. And don't forget to subscribe. You can find the show notes and information about life coaching at jasminesavari.com. You can also find me on Instagram at Jasmine Savari. I am a life coach and a licensed mental health counselor, but this podcast is not a replacement for healthcare services. If you are in crisis, please call 911 or the Crisis Clinic at 1-800-273-8255. Take care and don't forget to live your life.